Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. Lovely day. Nice to be home, Southern California. Real good. I'm not going to talk about Temecula. Not today. You know, before we went down to Temecula, we had Sabbath services here, and I gave a message about the history of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And I won't say this is a continuation of it, but one of the things that I left us hanging, you know, there was the notion of, well, there is the desire to build this third temple in Jerusalem. And I made the comment that we are that temple that God is building. So this message is about how we will be built into that temple. Brand new bifocals there. No, I'm good. Yeah, no. All right, So God built his spiritual temple upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Both the Old Testament and New Testament provide a vital part of that underpinning, and Jesus Christ is the principal part of that foundation. And one thing we can discover that if our foundation is flawed in many things that we do, the building or whatever we're trying to build will not stand. When the temple was built 3,000 years ago, the stones were perfectly cut and fit together, with the chief cornerstone, the load-bearing stone, and hence the most important part of the structure. It was fitted together and measured against. And God laid that cornerstone, symbolizing Jesus Christ, to provide salvation. It says in Isaiah 28:16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And whoever believes will not act hastily." And verse 17, "Also I'll make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet." You know, it's interesting that God wants to measure our righteousness against something that is square. And this notion of a plummet or a plumb line, it is a perpendicular 90-degree angle when it falls straight. And it identifies square or out of square for a building or a wall that is upright. And it's kind of interesting. We are seeking to be righteous, which is uprightness in our building. So a plumb line helps the builder and inspector detect out of level or out of square construction. Now, speaking of out of square construction, let's look at the Parthenon in Greece. What a mess that place is. You wouldn't believe it, but there are virtually no straight lines in the Parthenon, no right angles. And this enormous temple initially seems pretty square. It looks pretty good, but it's not. The pedestal, for instance, it's domed. It's not flat for some reason. They wanted to create the illusion of square and perfect from a distance, but then when you get up close, it's not at all. The four pedestals of the corner, I mean, we see three corners here, they droop downward. And the lengthwise of the building, there are different lengths. The pillars, they're not equal distance among each other. And they face inward. It's quite the optical illusion that the Greeks built here. Additional refinements in the Parthenon include a slight, the inward leaning of the columns, and the corner columns are slightly larger in diameter. They're fatter than the others. So the thing is just an incongruous mess of engineering that looked like it was done on the fly. Now God, when he built his temple, we heard Nathan take that scripture out, which was great, that it was inspired by God, and that back in Exodus 31. Now, we're being built as a temple ourselves, a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're built on something that is very square and right and holds a load, which is Jesus Christ. Now, a cornerstone, it provides a validation of true level on the horizontal horizon and the vertical going up and down. The cornerstone or foundation stone concept is derived from the first stone set in construction of a masonry foundation. It's important since all the other stones will be using this cornerstone as a reference of being level and square and correctly upright. Over time, a cornerstone became a ceremonial masonry stone. It's set in a prominent location. A lot of times on a building, it's going to say when it was dedicated or who it was dedicated to. Could have the names of the architect, a builder, or other significant individuals placed on that cornerstone. The rite of laying a cornerstone is important culturally. A lot of Eastern architecture and sacred architecture really took a high note of that. In our Bible, we can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And starting in verse 4, says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Verse 7, therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So we see those in the world that are contrary to Christian belief, and they are contrary to Jesus Christ. They reject that notion that Jesus is the cornerstone, is the beginning of things. Paul uses the stone analogy in many places, always pointing back to Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, which is the first item installed in a building and the first thing that is established. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. He is that proverbial big, huge stone rock at the very bottom of our faith. And it lifts us up. It holds us up. And it supports God's building, who we are. The chief cornerstone is exactly what it says it is. It's most important, and it is in the corner. Paul describes a massive, weightly strong, and very impressive foundation stone. And the chief stone on the bottom is at the intersection of two walls and the foundations. And the cornerstone is a big stone, and it's load-bearing, and it carries the weight of the building. In Israel, at the western wall of the Temple Mount, is a large stone, and it was discovered. It's known as the Western Stone. It is the biggest stone of the western wall, and it's one of the heaviest objects ever lifted by humans without the assistance of machinery. The cornerstone on the Temple Mount that we looked at last time Its length is about 45 feet, and I was just measuring how wide the room is, and this is about 40 feet wide, this room, so it's a little bit longer than the room. It's 12 feet wide, so it goes back about four rows, and 14 feet high, so about as tall as the ceiling. So that is just a massive, massive solid block. And it comes together at the bottom of the western wall. And what's interesting, I didn't get into this part when we were talking about the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is built on a slope. Towards the north, if you enter one of the gates of the Temple Mount, you will be entering on level ground. Towards the south, which is the historical picture where you see the western wall, the elevation has gone down. So all that weight of that, those stones and everything, they want to go downhill, right? Stones like to roll downhill. So all that weight is on this block. And you know what? That's like Jesus Christ. There's a lot of weight pressing down on him, but he is supporting us, that structure. He is the load-bearing force at the footing of the church. So Paul means that Christ functions as the central and most important part of the foundation of the church. The building does not exist without the chief cornerstone. The church does not exist without Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone must be installed before the building can be set on top of it. That's what we saw happen. Jesus came, he died, he set that precedent, and then the church was built on top of that precedent. So is Jesus Christ your cornerstone? He better be. A foundation can either be physical or non-physical. And sometimes a foundation can be both. So we know what a physical foundation is. We have one in our home or apartment. Any kind of building is going to have a sound foundation. Bridges, I've seen how bridges are built, and they put these massive anchors and structures, foundations, to hold the weight of the load on the bridges. And you cannot construct a building without a foundation. And if you build it badly, I think of those places, Seaside down in Florida, where the whole condominiums collapsed because of water damage to the foundation. Jesus says clearly in Matthew chapter 7, your house will be swept away in a flood if you don't build your foundation right. Now, yes, I was a little kid once. This was my clubhouse when I was 6 years old. It's a mess. You know, when I was 6 years old, I thought it was pretty good. But I built many of these dirt floor forts. I called them underground clubhouses, with odd pieces of plywood, 2x4s, and boards. And they all came down and never had foundations, and they were just a little boy's fantasy at the time for a few hours in a day. Now, people have non-physical foundations like my play forts. We witness many varying philosophies of lifestyles and beliefs. And people can change opinions and take different attitudes depending on the day. So foundations are ideas built on faulty information, or dirt, as my little fort was, can be swept away by fad ideas, wind, rainstorm, novel thoughts, ideas or philosophies that just seem right for the day. A foundation of principles can be a goal or purpose for why a certain person or group exists and forms a basis for their existence. Some of our foundations here in the church are the way we're taught and the things we're taught. Sometimes a person's moral foundation is thrown together by life experiences and common understanding. I think of the old pioneer cabins. I think of some houses up in Oregon that I've seen before, too, that they're built with a bunch of stones and everything just piled up to make them level. but boy, they'll come down fast. And Paul says we're to have Christ as our cornerstone and the fundamental element on which all else is laid. And in this way, we are to be built into a holy temple, but we have to start with the first foundation. In Ephesians 2, Paul gives us a very quick sketch, the details of our spiritual foundation. I should mention here that he has been speaking to these Ephesians and talking about how they can be part of what God is building. So he says, starting in Ephesians 2, verse 19, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So Paul uses the term household of God, thinking of a building. Verse 20, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Verse 21, "In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So Paul is not talking about the physical temple. He's talking about a spiritual temple, a spiritual building in which the Spirit of God brings us together. And God lives in this temple. It is the holy place where God dwells. Paul reminds the Corinthians church that he and Apollos laid a proper foundation for them. They did their work. They did a job that they were being sent to do. We can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be there a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Here, Paul is using this illustration again of a building. Verse 10 and 11. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Skipping to verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." We have a foundation of our belief. Jesus explains this in Luke 6. We can turn to Luke 6 real quick. Verse 47 through 49. So Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, like my little toy fort I built, my dirt fort. Again, which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Our lives are built on the sure foundation of God's words, which are spirit and life. We know that popular ideas and views can change over time, but the word and the words of God, they stand forever and ever and ever. "If any other foundation is laid, or is there any foundation that does not faithfully convey the true gospel that Jesus taught and that he brought to us, the gospel of the kingdom of God, then it's flawed. And the building that is built on of it, the church, the beliefs that are built on that foundation, they're not going to get supported, and they are going to fail. We must make sure that our foundation is true and square and right. And the inside of that building, very important, has us making right decisions about what we believe and what we agree to. Things need to square up in our faith on the foundation that Jesus built. Any other faith, a foundation that does not include Christ and what Christ has done, is flawed, counterfeit, and destined to fail. Simply having that cornerstone available will not help us if we do not carefully build on it. We must always reference back to that cornerstone to make sure that we're square, that we are righteous, that we're being upright in all we do. We use the plumb line of righteousness as our tool in this situation. The cornerstone will not automatically make what we build perfect. We got to keep on referencing it and make sure we build a sturdy structure on that foundation. We must carefully heed the lessons and the mistakes of the scribes and the Pharisees in rejecting the cornerstone. As we build on the foundation that has been laid for us, we must certainly keep our eyes on Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. It says in Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew 7, we can turn there. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat the house, and it fell great. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's kind of a repetition of what we've heard already. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are built a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, therefore it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stones which the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. This chief cornerstone, straight, true, and righteous, is our Lord Jesus, God Messiah. Our foundation to which our building, our house, this living stone, this temple of God is bound to. And it's the foundation that will never fail. 1 Peter 2, verse 8 continues, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. But you, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. God built his spiritual temple upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Both the Old and the New Testament provide a vital part of our understanding. And Jesus Christ is the first and principal part of our foundation of living and beliefs. The stones of the temple were perfectly fit together with the chief cornerstone and the load-bearing and hence the most important part of the structure upon which all other stones will be fitted and measured against, God laid. And it's the cornerstone symbolizing Jesus Christ, to provide true, real salvation, first to the saints and then to the balance of all humanity.